Today we're in Lesson 22, Ecclesiastes chapter 12, verses 1 through 8. As we start today, let's review what Solomon is doing in the last two chapters of this book. He presents four pictures of life and then attaches to each picture a practical admonition for his listeners to heed. We will see that the four pictures parallel the four arguments that Solomon wrestled with in the first 10 chapters. Those were the monotony of life, the vanity of wisdom, the futility of wealth, and the certainty of death. In the last lesson, in chapter 11, verses 1 through 6, we studied the first picture Solomon put before us. Life is not monotonous. Rather, it's an adventure that's anything but predictable or tedious. We must live by faith. Then in chapter 11, verses 7 through 10, he gave us the picture that life is a gift and admonished us to enjoy it. This picture continues in today's verses. He's in the process of giving us instructions as to how we can accept life as a gift and enjoy what God gives us. Let's remember that last time in chapter 11, verse 9, he told us the first instruction was rejoice in each day, anticipating what the day will bring, understanding that it's a fresh gift from God. And then in verse 10, he had said, remove sorrow or vexation, inner pain, anxiety from your heart by keeping away from sin. Now, in chapter 12, verses 1 through 7, we'll see the third instruction to enjoy what God has given us in life, and that is to remember. Verse 1 says, remember now your Creator in the days of your youth, before the difficult days come and the years draw near when you say, I have no pleasure in them. While the sun and the light, the moon and the stars are not darkened, and the clouds do not return after the rain. This third instruction, remember your Creator, means more than think about God. If you do a word study here, remember means pay attention to, consider with the intention of obeying. It is Solomon's version of Matthew 6:33, but seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness. How easy it is to neglect the Lord when you are caught up in the enjoyments and opportunities of youth. We know the dark days, verse 8, and the difficult evil days, chapter 12, verse 1, are coming. So we had better lay a good spiritual foundation as early in life as possible. Verses 1 through 7 are a beautiful poem describing old age that develops from the thoughts that he had in chapter 11, verse 8, when he said, but if a man lives many years and rejoices in them all, yet let him remember the days of darkness, for they will be many. All that is coming is vanity. So let's now read the remainder of the verses for today. We have now chapter 12, verses 3 through 8. In the day when the keepers of the house tremble and the strong men bow down, when the grinders cease because they are few, and those that look through the windows grow dim, when the doors are shut in the streets and the sound of grinding is low, when one rises up at the sound of a bird and all the daughters of music are brought low, also they are afraid of height and of terrors in the way, when the almond tree blossoms, the grasshopper is a burden, and desire fails. For man goes to his eternal home, and the mourners go about the streets. Remember your Creator before the silver cord is loosed, or the golden bowl is broken, or the pitcher shattered at the fountain, or the wheel broken at the well. Then the dust will return to the earth as it was, and the spirit will return to God who gave it. Vanity of vanities, says the preacher, all is vanity. Verses 3 through 7 give us a very imaginative, beautiful description of old age and death. We can't be sure what the figures are meant to convey, but an interpretation is given for some of them, And many of the commentators agree on what many of these figures are. Together, they depict, this we can be sure, the physical weaknesses of the different members of an aging body. In verse 1, it says, "Remember your Creator in the days of your youth, before the difficult days of old age come." In verse 3, the house is a biblical metaphor for the human body. And we know other places in the Bible talks about the house or the tent. The figures used in these verses, the other ones, could mean the following. So let's go through these verses using these figures. In the day when, verse 3, the keepers of the house, your arms and hands tremble, and the strong men, your legs, knees, and shoulders weaken, and you walk bent over. When the grinders cease because they are few, you start to lose your teeth. Windows grow dim, your vision begins to deteriorate. Then in verse 4, when the doors are shut, either your hearing starts to fail, it could be, or you close your mouth because you've lost your teeth. When the sound of grinding is low, you can't chew your food, or it could be your ears can't pick up the sounds outdoors. Rise up at the sound of the birds. Well, you wake up with the birds early each morning. Daughters of music are brought low. Your voice starts to quaver and weaken. Then in verse 5, you're afraid of height and of terrors in the way. Well, you're terrified of heights and especially afraid of falling while you walk down the street. When the almond tree blossoms, if you have any hair left, it turns white like almond blossoms. The grasshopper is a burden. Well, that means you just drag yourself along like a grasshopper at the close of the summer season. And desire fails. Well, it could be that you lose your appetite, or it could be, speaking of your sexual desire. And it says, you go to your eternal home and people mourn your death. So in verse 6 and 7, we have a final plea then. Remember God before you go to life beyond the sun. Solomon again pleads with his reader to remember God before this life is over. And he repeated a variety of metaphors to describe the ending of this life. The silver cord, the golden bowl, the pitcher, and the wheel are all metaphors of life now broken in death. Then the dust will return to earth, referring to man's being created from dust, Genesis 2, verse 7, and chapter 3, verse 19. And the spirit will return to God. Here, we have a hint at the eternal perspective. This is why it's so important to remember your Creator in this life, because when this life is over, one will answer to the eternal God and to eternity. In verse 8, for the last time in the discourse, the preacher said, "Vanity of vanities, all is vanity." The book closes where it began in chapter 1, verse 2, emphasizing the emptiness of life without God. When you look at life under the sun, everything does seem vain. But when you know Jesus Christ is your Savior, your labor is not in vain in the Lord. Life does not look empty. The main truth we want to take home from today's verses is this. For those of us who look at life from a biblical and eternal perspective, all of life is not vanity. At the end of a man's advancing age is his eternal home, not the unknown grave and darkness. The preacher has now set man's advancing age in connection with eternity, not vanity. Again, we do well to remember that the Old Testament generally does not state the life and condition of man after his life with great certainty. We don't get that until the New Testament. Yet through his diligent searching, the preacher has come to the right conclusion that after this life, man goes to his eternal home as the mourners go about the streets. Eternity and the eternal God make everything matter. How should this affect our lives? Well, we'll look at that in our last lesson. The study notes for this lesson can be found at naomistable.com.